morning. Woo. For those of you that know me, I'm Matt Reese, and this is my son, Ben. We were gone for about 2 weeks to Kosovo a couple weeks ago. About 10, 11 days of that were spent in Kosovo. The rest of it was kind of spent traveling. And I've got a lot of slides here. I'm hoping I won't bore you to death. And so I guess we better get started. First, I'd like to say I was blown away by the financial support of the church for this trip and also the generous amount of prayer that was lifted on our behalf. I've told some people, but I felt like we were riding a huge wave of prayer the whole time. It wasn't okay, please pray for us. We were just on the crest the whole time, and I could feel it there. It's hard to describe, I think, if you haven't felt that before. I think a lot of people know what I mean, but just in times when I was exhausted at night when we were going to bed and things, I just felt this incredible peace about everything. I was not homesick. I miss Vicky and Nate and my mom and dad. But it wasn't in a, I can't wait to get out of this place. I'm through with being here. And there were lots of reasons to be through with this place and not want to be here. And I was just shocked every night as I laid on my rock-hard bed, you know. And I'll try and describe a lot of this. So let me get going here. Here's Kosovo. They say Kosovo, or it's Kosovo. Americans tend to say Kosovo. It's kind of the Serbian way to say it, although it's about 90% ethnic Albanians that live there. Here's our plane we got on in Atlanta. Your little thing's not showing up.
It's an animation.
Oh, it's an animation. Oh, I didn't know he did that. We got a little animation. First, we went to Frankfurt, and then we went to Munich. And we spent a day in Munich. It actually made the airfare about $800 cheaper. And Munich was kind of cool. Then we had to fly to Vienna to catch a flight so we could finally make it to Kosovo and Pristina. So if you all can see, Kosovo right there. And Kosovo, well, let me tell you a few things. It's amazing that Rob chose the verses he did today, I think, because this is Macedonia, basically, right here. So we were a long stone's throw, but we were just, it's just across the border. Skopje is, which is right here, is probably about an hour to get to. If you're an American, you could probably get there in about a half an hour, the way we drive in our better roads. I guess you've got it animated, don't you? We were in Lipien, and there's a lot of things about their language. They actually have 36 letters, in a sense, in their alphabet. They use all our letters, but they have letters like CH and DH and things like that, things we can't pronounce whatsoever. They have two different kinds of L, two different kinds of R. I finally learned how to say one of them. It was a lot of fun trying to learn Albanian or Shqip with the Kosovar kids. So Kosovo is about the size of Massachusetts, and that's what it looks like against Georgia, to give you an idea. Okay, so this is where I make fun of my mother. When we were going to Kosovo, my mom wasn't real excited about it because she thought, you know, they're Muslim, we're not coming back home, bad things are going to happen. As it turns out, I did have a Muslim guy hold a razor blade to my neck. But I asked him to. So, cost about $1 to get a shave there. Never had it done before. Just before he came home, I kind of had a little growth going, so I had him shave it off. It was actually a lot of fun, and it was fun to make fun of my mom. So, okay, back to the real presentation. The scripture verse that they gave us for the team was from Colossians. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. Great little verse. Well, it became more and more aware to me why this verse was chosen and much deeper meaning into this verse. There's also the story of Jesus' disciples when they came back one time and these guys were saying, why can't your disciples cast out this demon? And he said, this kind only comes out by much prayer and fasting. Well, to be honest with you, that verse always confused me. I'm like, why? Well, I understand where the prayer and fasting came from. It was Jesus' prayer and fasting. He was the one that always went off to pray. He's the one that fasted, and he knew what he was up against, and that's why he was always spending time with his Father, because he knew the powers that were against him. I got to see some of those much more vivid in Kosovo than I've seen before. Real quick, here's a mosque, the one in Lipien. These are a dime a dozen. Every little town you run to, there was a town about 4 miles away. Every couple days I'd go for a run, and you disappear into the countryside, and all of a sudden this little town pops up, and they all have a mosque like this. They're basically paid for by Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. They build them all over the place. They don't do a whole lot else for the community except build these mosques. I don't know how many of you were there when Jeff and Judy did their presentation at our... Jeff and Debbie did their presentation at our house. But the beginning of their presentation, they had the call to prayer going. And it went on and on and on. And I was kind of like, I get it. Can we move on with the presentation? Well, y'all come to Kosovo, and you'll understand why he did that way. Because it goes off 5 times a day. One of them's at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and we got to hear it every morning. I slept with earplugs, so I didn't have to hear it anymore. It's very oppressive, especially as a Christian. And it's very annoying, and they tend to ignore it because they hear it all the time. They don't pray, but it still goes off. I don't know if you can see. There's big loudspeakers. This mosque was probably about 3/4 to a mile from where we were staying, and it was loud. Oh, well. Real quick, I guess some teenage boys got in the mosque, replaced, it's a tape that they play, replaced the tape of the CD with an Elvis CD, and then locked the door, and they couldn't get it fixed for like 2 or 3 days because they couldn't get the door open. And so the call to prayer every day for like 2 or 3 days was actually Elvis. They got in a lot of trouble, but... So this is what I viewed us going to Kosovo. We're going to go open the door to Jesus and bright light, and it's going to be awesome, and we're going to be incredible. This is what I found. And another thing with Rob's scripture verse today that kind of hit me is, you know, the earthquake came and Jesus blew the doors open, and he can do the same thing there. But it's probably going to come through much prayer and much fasting. You know, Jeff and Debbie have been there for 10 years, and they've only seen a few converts. And it's hard to understand until you go there and see what they're up against. The people are wonderful. They're just steeped in tradition and lots of different traditions. And they're very proud of their Muslim faith, and we would ask ourselves why. And you could say the same thing about a lot of people who think they're a good Catholic, a good Baptist, a good whatever you want to insert in there in the United States. And they go to, you know, church on Easter and Christmas, and maybe every once in a while if there's a baptism or a family member that's doing something. But it's not overly meaningful to them. That's kind of the way it comes across.
They're kind of Muslims like Americans are Christians.
Exactly. This is us arriving at the airport in Kosovo. And going inside the terminal actually felt like we're in a third world country. The departure terminal is much nicer than the arrival terminal. I don't understand that. I don't have pictures for the internal. We got on this bus. It's called a combi. And loaded all our luggage in there. This is some of the team. We arrived from Vienna with a couple other team members. I had been introduced to them kind of on Facebook, so I recognized them at the airport when we were getting on our flight. So we actually met in Vienna. This is, I don't know if you can see very well here, the smoke, but they have basically one power plant for the entire country, and Pristina, the capital, is very smoky, and it's very beautiful countryside. You wonder why it would be so smoky. Well, they use brown coal because it's cheap and it's about all that they can get, so it makes it very dirty, which is a shame because it's actually very beautiful there. It's kind of hilly and mountainous around there. Here's a sign to Lipien right before we got there. This is the house we stayed at. We were actually on the third story, and the Mark and Trish Edwards, who run the center, will actually pay some local families to house us. The accommodations were different. These are some of the family members. This is actually a daughter-in-law who is about 5 months pregnant, and I wouldn't say waited on us hand and foot, but waited on us a lot and made us feel very guilty as an American. Their culture, the women do everything, and it's offensive to them if you try and help them, because then you're telling them they stink as a housewife, female, whatever. So I wanted to say, she's 5 months pregnant. Why don't we all get up and help her, you know, with some of these things? They would serve tea and biscuits and things every night. Very small tea, lots of sugar. They love their sugar. They call it chai. If you keep drinking it, they will keep bringing it. So at some point, you have to just leave a little bit in there so they won't keep bringing it to you. Very, very, very hospitable. These are a couple of our other team members. This is Paul. He's from Scotland. It was awesome having him there with his accent. This is John. He was actually from Australia. They are both missionaries in Kosovo. Paul teaches English in Pristina, and John teaches English in Prizren, which is to the south. And here are the deals. It was so good to see them. Not that I want to compare Ben and I to Epaphras or anything like that, but it gave me the feeling of you sending us to Jeff and Debbie as a refreshment, as somebody recognizable, as a home church that supports them and wants to encourage them. That's the response I felt from them. It was so cool. They were so appreciative that a church that supports them sent somebody to them to help them in their work, and just showed that we're really a part of what they're doing, and it felt really cool. Debbie did send me back a letter, which I'd like to read real quick. It says, New Covenant brothers and sisters, hello from Kosovo. What a blessed past 2 weeks we've had. Our first week of English camp was terrific, with an excellent weekend retreat with the staff of camp to top it off. Thank you for praying and sending your very own Matt and Ben to help. They were such an encouragement to us. They are both returning with many stories of new relationships they built for the kingdom. We hope that through hearing them, you will get an even deeper glimpse of the ministry here in Kosovo. Thank you again for your continued prayers and support. We would love if even more of you could join us as Matt and Ben did. With joy and thankfulness, Jeff and Deb. And Emma even signed it here. And Benjamin Deal. I'll leave that for some of you to read later or look at if you want. I also brought some chocolate. Not sure this is exactly from Kosovo, but they gave this to us sometimes after our lunch. So kids, only take one, and I'll have that out back for you guys to enjoy. Here's Ben with Benjamin. Very cute. This is actually the library at the center. This is the center. Some weird stuff about the center is it was a joint cooperation between Crossworld and the government or the city there. And somewhere around there, things got a little weird, and they ended up splitting it up because bills weren't getting paid, things weren't getting done from the city side that they should have. And so this is basically a big gymnasium here, and there's some offices and things upstairs. So basically the offices and rooms upstairs, which is what they mostly use because they do English classes and like a youth group kind of thing, the Crossworld owns that now, with the city owning the rest of it. Community's not really excited about that because the city doesn't take care of it very well. They've had some problems with an electric bill not being paid recently that was supposed to, and I think Crossworld then usually comes through and pays that. Getting things scheduled for the community are a pain. They used to be great when Crossworld ran everything, so that's where they are with some of that now. We did use the gymnasium and the whole facility for the English camp. Real quick, this is a road kind of right next to the facility. This is on one of my morning runs. This is the road Jeff and Deb live off of, just around the corner. We went to their house one time, forgot to take any pictures. I do have another picture See the little arrow there? That's their house right there. It's still in the stages of construction, and mostly done inside. They did have two rooms upstairs that they were trying to finish up that a couple for the next English camp were going to stay in, and they were far from being done. I don't know how, if he got it done, I don't know how Jeff got it done in the time when we were doing all the camp and stuff like that. There's some, I don't know if you can see them, mountains to the south there, probably about 7,000-8,000 feet. Very beautiful when you could see them, and most of the time we could see them. These are our accommodations. That's Ben's bed, which was kind of on the floor. This is my bed.
I'm striking the model pose.
Yeah. The bed was really like a fold-out couch thing. Like I said, rock hard, and usually gives me a lot of problems. I slept really good there. I can't imagine. I mean, it was God, because it wasn't very comfortable. Let's leave that. This is our bathroom. Very strange things with the bathrooms. You see all the plumbing's on the outside. They don't believe in shower curtains or shower doors, so everything gets wet. And when I say everything gets wet, I mean everything gets wet. So.
The bathroom has a drain on the floor because the whole bathroom is basically a shower.
Yeah. The bathtub thing there had a drain too, but you kind of needed both of them. And I tried to be very careful the first day or two. And after, you know, there were three other guys besides Ben and I staying there. They weren't being very careful. It didn't seem like that. You'd go in, everything's wet. I'm like, this doesn't do any good for me to be any careful. So I wasn't careful anymore. It was cool. We didn't bring guitars or anything, but Ben, they had about five guitars there, and Ben was able to play a lot. I played a few times for some of our personal worship stuff, and he was able to play at camp. That was a lot of fun for him, and it was just great to be able to do that. This is actually them preparing for our morning devotional time. This is back at the house. This is the daughter-in-law serving us. And we had tea, and actually that's Jeff right there. It might be Debbie there.
But no, that's Leonita.
Okay. Well, that's Arbracia next to her. But okay, let's move on here. I just want to show you some food real quick. I thought I was going to lose weight because I'm a very picky eater, as many of you may know. I did lose weight, but I think it was only from the walking because I did everything I possibly did to gain weight. I can't believe how much I ate there. Food was fantastic. This was a salad, had every day for lunch. I don't like peppers. It had peppers in it, and I actually kind of, sort of, maybe learned to like peppers when we were there. And I need to get used to it. Breakfast was always a boiled egg and this thing called a kifle. Had chocolate running through the middle of it. They eat tons and tons and tons of bread there. Don't know how they can eat as much bread as every meal had bread with it, and they were big, fluffy pieces of bread. There were lots of, this is one of my morning runs, this is in Lipion. There were lots and lots and lots of buildings that were not completed there, all over the place, houses like this. And there's something weird about, you have to have something on the land or you have to pay taxes. If you've got a building started but you're not living in it, you don't pay taxes on it yet, I think, something weird like that. These were all over the place. This is actually on one of our trips. We went somewhere. I just wanted to show you some other buildings that are sitting there. Some people like to make jokes about that, you know, they were bombed out from the war and things like that. But that's not what it is. They've got all this construction going all over the place, but nothing is finished. In Lipion, the construction seemed pretty shoddy to me, and it was scary being in some of the buildings. As we got to some of the bigger cities, it looked much better. They did have one year early on when they were building the center, one of the trips that came there was a construction team, and they had a contractor who was making sure the center was being built right, and he mentioned to somebody, you know, did you make sure that was plumb or level? And they're kind of like, you know, what's that? So Mark, the center director, was very happy to have him there because otherwise, who knows what kind of shape the center would have been in. Just another building on our way to Pea that was not completed. This is the parking lot of the center. Every day, there's like a farm, if you want to call it a farm, across the street. they would bring a cow, I saw a horse, a couple of horses, and these sheep would make this big looping thing through the fields and come back the other way, leaving special treats all over the place as they did that, that we walked through and you couldn't avoid it. Smelled really nice too. On Tuesdays, they would, because the community
Mondays owns
the center, they would have a flea market there. There's a flea market in town too, but they took over the parking lot and set all this stuff, and everybody looked like they had the exact same stuff that they were selling there. The same fold-out couch you see at all the houses and everywhere, and it's just typically it's some dudes building it in their house and bringing them out to sell. And I'm not sure how many of them actually sold. It seemed like they had a lot of people bringing stuff out, and then they'd load it up at the end of the day and leave.
See, in Kosovo, also, the thing with the business is they see some shop, and they say, hey, that guy's making money. I'll go make the exact same shop right next to him. This must be a good place to sell this stuff. And apparently that's not only the business idea in, like, the small towns. That translates up to, like, the big corporate companies. They're all just copying each other. So business, they don't really progress as a country or anything. The idea of creativity is pretty foreign to them.
Yeah, it would be amazing. You'd walk by a place and they bring all their wares like out on the sidewalk, and there's all this stuff, and you step to the next store and you look over it and you're like, that looks like the stuff I just saw sitting out in front of it. And it's like pumps and hoses, and they're just sitting there waiting for somebody to come by and buy something, which people normally didn't. This was English camp with the kids. I think we ended up, at the end, we had about 90 kids. I would say 98% of them were ethnic Albanian Kosovars, and we had two or three Serbian kids. The town, Lipjan, is kind of divided. They've got the Kosovo, or the Albanian side, and then the Serbian side is on the very north, and they don't interact a whole lot. This is actually a girl from the Serbian side who translated for the Serbian kids, and then this would be the Albanian translator, Labria, and that's Paul, but the Serbian kids were usually sitting on the front so that they could hear her. And one thing Trish, Mark's wife, tried to do was have the Serbian girl speak loudly so that all the Albanian kids could hear Serbian, because they try to avoid each other because they're trying to bring the community get together in what they do because of the animosity. I forgot to talk about the war. Maybe with a statue here, I'll say something about that, because there's still a lot of animosity about that. And as you go further north, where the war struck a lot more, you see that. That sign, the blue sign, I don't know if you remember, that I showed that had Lipjan, there's always two spellings on every sign. There's the Shtip, or Albanian spelling, and then there's Serbian. And as you get to the north, all the Serbian ones, people have taken spray cans and sprayed over them. And the further north you get, the more and more and more that happens, especially up toward Peja, where we kind of went for the retreat with the youth helpers. That was much more evident there. If you can see, this is Benjamin playing here, and this is Mark leading the song. There's Jeff on the djembe, and this is Thad, another one of the team members, who sang a song. And Mark actually wrote all the songs that we did at the camp, and they're incredibly good. I can't believe he wrote them. They should put it together as a program and sell it. Very creative. The idea was to incorporate lots of English words that you could use. Do you want to sing one of the songs with me? I'm kidding. I thought you said you never wanted to hear them again, because
yeah,
we sang them so many times.
Funny.
Okay, well. Anyways, you know, it had stuff like Goodbye Mom, Goodbye Dad, It's a Better Life, and yeah, and things like that. Songs Ben would never usually be found singing, and he was very animated, great with kids. It was fun to see him enjoying that. I think he's found his calling in life. He wouldn't agree. This is after we do the big assembly. We would get together, and this is Meredith. That's Thad, one of the other helpers' wives. They've been married about 10 months. They came from Michigan. This is my language helper, Genta, right here. And I don't see Gentrit. So these are the kids that are in the camp. The first camp was 8 and 9 year olds. So the 9 year olds have probably had 1 year of English in school. The 8 year olds have had nothing. The second camp that we weren't there for were even older kids that probably had a little more English basis in them. Kids were so cute, fantastic. Their pronunciation was hilarious. It was a lot of fun. I was probably hilarious to them because I couldn't pronounce any of their words. They couldn't say some English words that we would think were so easy to say. This is Mike, another guy that we housed with. Unfortunately, his mom passed away the day we went to, we're going to the retreat with the youth kids, so he actually flew back. He's from Pennsylvania. He's been there 4 or 5 times. Great guy. The family we're staying with, he had stayed with them maybe every time, I'm not sure. Just, they called him Mikey. They adored him. Couldn't wait to see him again. Weird things in town. Just, you know, tractors driving down the road. There were these really, really weird vehicles that by the time they were going by and I could get my phone out to try and take a picture, I always missed out on it. Home-built, they looked like they were made out of not even a lawnmower, a wood chipper or something. And they would actually use them to chip wood. Multi-purpose vehicle. This is from a rooftop, one of our places we'd go to have ice cream and coffee with the kids. This is Lipien. This is the capital, Pristina, when we went. What we would do is, after we did the English camp in the morning with the young kids, we would do activity with language translators in the afternoon. We did some things like a scavenger hunt, and it was a picture scavenger hunt because we had to prove that we found these items. We did that around Lipien. They don't do scavenger hunts in Kosovo. And that was part of Jeff's idea of the whole thing, is to, you know, let people know we're there and things like that. But Paul, the Scottish guy, actually got hauled into the police office or police department for about 20 minutes and interrogated because one of the things we were supposed to do was get our picture taken with a policeman. And you're not supposed to get your picture taken with a policeman. So after like three people had come or three groups had come by to get that done, they were like, what's going on here? So Paul's the right guy to do it, big, beefy, Scottish dude, and he great sense of humor. This is just a couple of the girls on our team, Anita and Labria. This is Gentrit, one of my buddies, and Veronica, walking around as we did our... this was, what would you call it? We had clues. Each place we went to, we had to get a new clue.
The Amazing Race.
And part of the deal was these kids had to speak English the whole time. So they were kind of being taught new words by us as we were trying to figure things out. And I think the clues may have had words that they may not have known, but their English was fantastic. Never a problem except for one time. I'll get to that. This is riding the bus. It was amazing. The girls many times would get up and give their seat up to an older man. You'd never see that in America, but there it was a way to show respect to the men. And I kept trying to give up my seat, and nobody would take my seat because I was a guy. It's just different. On the bus, there's very few pictures of me because Ben doesn't like to take pictures of people, and I was Ben's official photographer, is what I felt like, because I was always taking pictures of him. This is Skanderberg. He's a hero from like 1380. The Battle of Kosovo, where they drove the Turks out. This was one of the clues we had to find in Kosovo. Funny thing is, he's a Christian, and
he drove Muslims out.
But he's their hero. So imagine that. They've got a sign. It was hard. This is one of our pictures we took that says "Newborn," and it's their celebration of at the war when Bill Clinton and Tony Blair basically said, bomb the Serbs back out because they're trying to kill all the Muslims there. They kind of view that a little bit as their independence, and that's one of the reasons they adore Americans. This is Pristina again. Buildings look a little different, but it was much different than Lipien. There's a couple of kids. This is Bill Clinton's statue. I expected it to be much bigger. He's holding a book. You can't really tell. His hand on the book is massive, and they had to do something to balance his one hand up like this. They had to put enough metal or something over here to balance it out. I don't know if you can tell in the picture, but that was one of our clues. We had to find the Bill Clinton statue. The book actually has the date of when the decision was made to help them out with NATO. Again, lots of fun with the kids. This is dinner. Kids really liked hanging out with us, and we really liked hanging out with them. I just thought that was funny. Sorry. Las Vegas. This is in Lipien. Thought that was pretty funny, too. This was one evening. We took the kids out for ice cream and coffee. It was like $7. American, you know, it was five euros or something like that. I couldn't take Ben, Vic, and Nate out for $7 for ice cream. It was ridiculous how cheap some things were there. More of the team members. This is John, the Aussie. This is an American. This is Jen. She's from Michigan. This is Mary. She's from Michigan. All the others. That's Veronica. She's from Michigan.
That's Victoria.
Veronica. I can't get any of my names straight. These are the kids that were part of the language helpers. And again, these were language helpers here. This is Fisnik, Gentrit, and Besnik. I'll talk about them in a little bit. This is back to English camp. This is them having their snack where they have kifle and a juice box. And man, it was a big piece of bread with chocolate or whatever. Those kids could pound that down like you wouldn't believe. Very cute watching them eat it. This was my group of kids that I had. And again, there's Genta, my language helper. Genta, I think, was probably the wealthiest of the students there. She actually goes to a private Turkish school. Her parents look like they have a pretty nice place, and she dressed nicely. She had an iPhone. Nobody else had an iPhone. This is just one of the little things we did on the last day. The kids got a picture and made some stuff to take home. These are some of the guys that stayed at the house. This is actually Mark, the center director, and
photobombing us.
And again, Paul and John and Mike. Great group of guys. This was coming back from Paya. This is a war memorial. They are all over the place. Here's another one with pictures of some people that were killed in the war. When you come into the airport, there's a picture of this guy. He almost looked like, he looks Cuban, almost big beard like Castro. But he's a war hero there. This is our retreat when we went to Rugova and spent the weekend with the kids. I had asked you guys to pray that there would be some openness and opportunity for spiritual things there. There were some eye-opening things there we'll talk about. Just absolutely beautiful. Could have been in Montana. This is the center we stayed at. Everything kind of looks nicer from the outside than it was actually inside. This is our room. Doesn't look too bad. It was. Bathroom was completely unusable. We never did use that bathroom. We couldn't, right?
No,
we may have tried to, but
yeah.
Move on past that. We had lots of different cool bonding games and things like that in Rugova. We went to this very cool waterfall that we hiked into. Beautiful. Kids had a lot of fun there. We had a lot of fun there. One of the things that they did is we had a couple different exercises on the retreat where Jeff and Deb had them tell what they were thankful for, what they were afraid of, what they're proud of, and some other things like that. We usually had to draw pictures. One of the things that kind of struck me a little bit is what I was thankful for. You know, I think I started with pictures of Vicky And it wasn't until I got to about, and I was going for speed mode. We didn't have a lot of time drawing stick figures and stuff like that. It's probably about the sixth picture I drew that, oh yeah, I'm thankful for my salvation. And that kind of got me in that bend. I was thankful for the Bible. But it made me realize some of the things I take for granted that I should be very, very, very thankful for. In the same way of, you know, not thinking of God like I should, thinking of Him small, not thinking highly enough about my salvation and what I truly need to be thankful for. My salvation more than for my iPad or my computer or things like that. Some more pretty pictures. Emma was adorable. She'd flit around the center singing a song all the time. She always had a song on her lips. She was so much fun to have around. Oh, this was when we were in Paya. You're not supposed to photograph they're called KFOR, which is Kosovo Force, like the NATO forces that basically protect the country. But I took a picture of them anyway. They used to be all over the place, I guess, but mostly they're in the north now. And so we didn't see them a whole lot where we were. But there they are. Took this picture because it was funny, because they were both checking Facebook or something. But yeah, we had Wi-Fi after not having it all weekend. It was the only way we could touch back with home and things like that. So they were excited. They were hitting it. But this is also where we had a great conversation with Genta, and it was very eye-opening for me again. Trying to, you know, Romans Road or... why can I never remember what it's called? Kirk Cameron. Way of the Master. And, you know, I did Campus Crusade and Four Spiritual Laws in college. Had plenty of opportunities to share with people. And Kosovo was very different. And, you know, I went there thinking, I've got this, you know, I know how to do these things. Well, speaking to her, every turn there was a door slammed in my face as far as, if I go much further with this, I'm going to offend you with your grandfather. And then it will really be closed. I'd rather the door closed gently than slammed and locked back up and I have no opportunity. Like I said, they're proud that they're Muslim, but they don't really know why. She's never read the Quran. She only knows what people have told her. And those people are her grandfather, her father, you know, people very important to her, and you will offend them deeply. It also made me realize I didn't study Islam and have answers to why some of these things, like the Ten Commandments, you know, don't necessarily, although Moses was one of their prophets, she didn't know the Ten Commandments and they didn't really mean anything to her. It was the five things that Muhammad told them that they needed to do that were important. I didn't really know what those were, and I didn't have answers for those as, you know, to why and to continue that discussion. So I felt like everything I did made me realize I didn't prepare for this. I didn't pray enough. I didn't fast enough. I also didn't learn about Islam enough to be as effective as I thought I was going to be. And again, there's things about their culture that I can learn more and find out better, that I can have these deeper, better conversations with them. Right before we were leaving, they were starting Ramadan, and that's their fasting time. And again, it sounded like this big thing, and like they were all preparing for it, and then when the first day came, they were blowing off the fasting. It's okay. And everything they have is like, if you have a good reason, you can ignore that law, or, you know, you're not supposed to smoke. You're not supposed to drink. They smoke. They drink. They cheat on their wives, and it's kind of all okay. And it didn't really make sense. And they actually, coming back from Rugova, it was interesting because they got in a big argument on the bus. Some of them, who were talking about how proud they were about being Muslim, and Ramadan and following the Quran and things like that, and others that were probably more liberal but still proud to be Muslim, it would be like having a conversation between a universalist, not really, but and a hyper-Calvinist, you know, as to what we take literally with the Bible, and it was kind of she would say to them, well, why aren't you wearing a burqa, and things like that. Now, they were having this conversation all in Albanian, unfortunately, and so I had the opportunity to ask her and have her describe that to me when we got back, and that's what gave me an opportunity to ask her lots of questions and try and get it to a point to present the gospel. And it was her reasoning was very strange in a lot of things and very circular, and it was frustrating to me because in America I've had plenty of opportunities to share the gospel, and I felt a little bit helpless there, and I felt like it was my fault for not preparing like I could have. I just stuck this in here. This was a joke between all of us because they love Facebook. I posted a bunch of pictures on Facebook, and one time I looked at my phone, and is it Erdina? Yeah. She liked, it was like 40 of my pictures. If you just scrolled through it, it was just like, Erdina likes this photo. So I'd like to show that to everybody. Everybody got a good laugh out of it. This was our one problem with Albanian. I used my little Google Translate on my phone. There was one night when we were going to have dinner with some of the kids, and they showed up a little late, and there were just us Americans at the table. Tried to talk to the waiter. He didn't understand any English, and the manager was kind of there, and he just kind of threw up his hands, and it's like, you're on your own, and walked off. We're like, what do we do? So I typed this into my phone, took it to the waiter, and said, just showed it to him, and he said, good. So we got back to the table. I showed it to the Kosovo kids a little later, and they all burst out laughing because it doesn't quite say what I've got there. We have three guys from Kosovo coming that will translate for us. It says something about we have three little children to translate for or something.
No, it says, the exact wording is, we have three children of Kosovo coming to translate for.
So these three guys that were coming to dinner then called themselves my Kosovo children from then on. And that's these guys. That's Besnik, Gentrit, and Fesnik. Great guys. Little story here. When was it? In our last dinner that we had together as a team, after we had said our goodbyes and we were about to leave, almost everybody was gone, but Thad kind of came back, and he roomed with those three guys when we were at Rogova, the camp. And he came in and told me that those guys thought I was the coolest thing ever, had not a bad word to say about me, that I really had an impact on them, all this stuff that I never would have known if he hadn't said something to me. I adored these guys, but it was just kind of like, wow, I accomplished maybe more here than I thought I did. And one thing I'll tell you is before I left, unfortunately, I dropped this getting in the car today and broke it as I brought it in. They gave me this as a gift. And they knew I was looking for something like this, and I couldn't find it anywhere. It's like a little glass thing with the outline of Kosovo on it. But it's exactly what I was looking for and couldn't find. And everything in Lipien was junk. I couldn't find anything really to buy for anybody. I don't know where they found this. But it meant a lot for them to do that. They wrote me a really neat letter to go with it that they didn't want me to read till I got back home. Just very touching. You know, I've been in contact with them on Facebook since I got back. I can't wait to see them again. It was harder to say bye to them than I thought it would be. Just more pictures of us. This is probably the night before we left. This was our last dinner together. Ben calls it the Last Supper. We stayed in Leonita's house. This was the night before we left. This is the family we stayed with. Two brothers, youngest daughter, and mom and dad. And the sister-in-law, I think, had gone to see her parents. This is at the departure at the airport. I think that's the Alps down there. Coming back, some of you know we got stranded in Dulles for a while, and Ben actually, we were there for like 8 hours. He asked the pilots if he could go check out the cockpit, and they're like, we're not going anywhere, sure. So, did you want to say something?
Yeah. Let me get my phone out. I have notes. Oh, I have a text from Ginta. While we were at Rogova camp, afterwards we had this, it's kind of like a
meeting just about it. We called it a
debrief.
And they asked us to describe our experience at the camp in one word. I can't clear my throat here. But mine was revealing, because it was it revealed what we were up against. Because there was this one time when the girl we were staying with, Leonita, they asked us to draw what makes us happy. And what she drew, well, she said, "My religion makes me happy." And I just kind of died a little bit inside, because it shows how set they are and what they're used to. And I'm like, how can Islam make you happy? And then the next morning, Fiznik, he said, he's another kid, he was one of my dad's Kosovo children. He said, "I'm thankful to be a Muslim." And then there's this other time when they asked us to make a sculpture of what we were afraid of, and he made God. And I'm like, why are you afraid of God? You shouldn't be afraid of God. You should fear God, but that's completely different. You know, God should be the one that you run to when you are afraid, not the one that causes you fear. And along those lines, I saw this picture on Facebook the other day, and it just said, "Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship." I'm like, that is so true. You know, Islam doesn't have a personal relationship with God. You don't get to know God. God is this big thing up there that you beg for mercy and stuff, not that you communicate with every day. And just the thought that they're so lost and they have no idea kills me, because a lot of times you just hear about all the people that are unsaved and they're just some statistic, or, you know, the people of Kosovo. To me, they're not. They're no longer the people of Kosovo. They're my friends. They're faces. And they're people that I love. And I can't stand the thought of them being eternally separated from God. And like Rob was saying earlier, someday we will be there and he'll be right there. And I want my people from Kosovo to be there with me. And that is why we are going back to Kosovo in 2014.
Lord willing.
Lord willing. And we want you to come with us.
Thank you, Tommy. All right, let's get you a microphone so you can talk. Well, I've got one on. I don't need a microphone. I've got a microphone. All right, so how do you foresee New Covenant participating in the future? And if other people want to go, what will they do there?
Okay. I don't know if this is on.
It is on.
Okay. They're questioning what they're doing there right now and wondering if they need to do something more out in the community that affects the entire community. The English camp does. It's great for the children and things like that, but they want to be more visible and helpful to the community, because basically Islam isn't. And so they're trying to figure out if there's something that they can do. So I don't know if next year will look different. For me, this year, I had told a lot of people that, you know, Ben and I were going. I don't want to lead the trip, because I don't know what I'm getting myself into. I'll lead Ben and I into oblivion, but I didn't want to leave anybody else. If they wanted to come, they're welcome to come, but I didn't want to be in charge of anything. Not volunteering to be in charge, but I feel like I have a way better idea of what I'm up against, how I could even...
Hold on a sec. Who all's been to Kosovo in the room? Okay.
And how I could train myself and Ben and everything better, like, you know, things to study.
Right, right.
I mean, we did some. I feel like I kind of studied some of the wrong things, because I was thinking in an American kind of way. And, you know, we could just better prepare for what we're up against. And, you know, there were lots of things I've mentioned to some people about just what Jeff and Deb are actually up against, why it's been so difficult. One thing I forgot to share is we had a church service at the retreat and invited the kids, didn't make them come because we were there on a Sunday. They were welcome to come and join us. And three of the girls joined us. And I think all of us Americans were like, because there were 20-something kids there. We're like, just three? Well, Jeff and Deb and Mark and Trish were like, three, yes! You know, because it was probably more than they've ever had. And two of them, one of them is interested in going to Pristina to go to church with them. And so it's just for them, they're blown away. They're very excited about it. And as American, our expectations were wrong.
Right.
You know, I need to have different expectations and just things like that. Did okay. I answer your question?
You did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing. Well, I think yes. I think what we've heard is that there are opportunities to go back to Kosovo and to go further into Kosovo. And let me ask you, as the church family, to pray for the elder board, because it's not, you know, last Sunday we talked about Caleb, who said, give me this hill. Well, it's not like we have just one hill. We have multiple hills to consider and to pray about how God would use us in the future. Which hill does he want us to, you know, scale? So I invite you to pray with the elders about what God will have us do in the future, how we can further our involvement there, as well as some other places as well. So that's what we're looking to. Matt and Ben, thank you so much for sharing. Appreciate it. I'm going to hold my thoughts on baptism for another time, but we are going to have baptisms. Being that it is an ordinance commanded by Christ, I plead with you as a congregation to stick around, because baptism is a public profession of faith, and these four people need a public to profess their faith in front of. So I am going to invite all those getting baptized to go ahead and step out. And I'm going to invite Nick to come up and lead us in a song. And we will rejoin you from the baptistry in just a few moments.